fired up. Praise the Lord. I know Sister Amber McCall is fired up. She sent me a note here, and she says, "Thank the Lord, I'm officially released from the boot and crutches." Amen. So we want to thank the Lord for that. Answered prayer. God bless you, Sister Amber. It's good to hear what God has done. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we want to greet you this evening, first in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and those joining us online. God bless you. It's good to have you with us as well. And I'm just looking forward to hearing what God has for me tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I know He's a very specific God. Whatever your desires, I believe He'll meet your need. Let's sing I've Been Changed. DMG.
Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was and redeemed is now my name. Well, I've been changed. I've been free for now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has
ready to go to prayer, sing that little chorus. He paid a debt he did not owe.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. It's amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt he did not owe, for I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. I now can sing a brand new song, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to ask Brother Jordan. Brother Jordan, you're sitting, if you could come and just open the service in a word of prayer. It's good to have you with us again. We want to remember Sister Chanel's brother. He's having a heart catheter procedure tomorrow. I want us to pray. Lord, we'll just guide the doctor's hands. Also, we want to remember Brother Keith this evening. Under the weather, so we want to remember him as well. Lord, just touch his body. My little Heidi, she's not feeling well tonight, so Ben's is home with her. So we just want to pray, Lord, we just touch her body. And we want to continue to remember Brother Wellington in prayer. The Lord would provide for him work, just meet his need. Brother Jeremy, he's in Atlanta, business. We lift him up in prayer. And Sister Tina Knobloch is having some issues with blood pressure, so we want to lift her up in prayer. And we want to remember Brother Angie, or Sister Angie's brother, as well in prayer tonight. And lastly, I have here Sister Carrie Wetlock. Let's lift her up in prayer. If you have a need on your heart, Brother Jordan comes, just raise it before our Heavenly Father. He paid a debt we did not owe. Amen. He didn't have to take the whips, the lashings for our healing. He didn't have to die on the cross for our sins. He did that for us, that we can come to Him at this moment with these needs. Amen. Brother Jordan, why don't you come?
Let's pray this evening. Our Heavenly Father, You're our Father, Lord, and we love You, Lord. As a Father, Lord, You can provide so much to us, Lord, and You know about all our needs. You know about our desires and our wants and our things that we struggle with, Lord. And You're our Father. You're not just someone else's Father, but You're our Father, Lord. And You're in heaven, Lord, that has the abundant riches, Lord, that You can bestow upon us with all these needs that have been spoken, Lord, the ones that have been written in, the ones that have been unspoken, Lord. You can provide for every one of them, Lord Jesus. And we want to just thank You, Lord, for Your grace and mercy in each one of these needs to help us, Lord, and to come on the scene for every need, Lord, that's been spoken, Lord. Thank You for doing that for us, Lord Jesus. We want to give You all the honor and the glory and the praise, and we want to give You thanksgiving for that, Lord, and not forget to be thankful, Lord. Lord, we love You again. We ask that You just forgive us of our sins and our iniquities, Lord. And Lord, be with each one that's come tonight, Lord. May we receive something from You, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts and our needs and our desires, Lord, to serve you, Lord, and to draw closer to you, Lord. Just fill us full more of your Spirit and your holiness, Lord, and your righteousness, Lord. There's nothing that we can do, Lord, but you can do it all for us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to make the right decisions and the right choices, Lord. Bless the people that have come this evening. Bless the minister, Lord. Bless all that are streaming, Lord, and those that aren't here, Lord, just be with each one. Walk with us, Lord, and lead us and guide us. We pray and ask these things in your precious, lovely name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand, get ready to receive our pastors. Brother Barry will come. You see, you deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy. Honor.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity we have to be able to gather together. And Lord, we never ever want to take these times for granted. But in the name of Jesus Christ, now we commit this time, this service, Lord, this study into your hands and pray that you would minister to every heart and every soul. You always know what we have need of. You always, Lord, have a word in season. And Lord Jesus, you always know how to fill our empty cups. Have your way now, we pray. Bring healing to all who need it. Minister to those who are here and abroad. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen and amen. While you're standing tonight, let's take your Bibles. We'll let our musicians take their places quickly. Exodus chapter 15. We're going to begin there. Exodus chapter 15. Sister Haley is not here tonight, not feeling well. Also, Sister Becky accidentally sprayed hairspray in her eye. And she had to go to the, she had an emergency appointment this afternoon. And that's why she's not here tonight, but had an appointment at the eye doctor. And she's okay. And we're thankful for that. That's what happened to her, and is really irritating. So we want to remember her. Also, half of the Ashdown family is not here. They're not feeling well. So we want to remember them as well. Exodus chapter 15, we want to read the first couple of verses here. And this is the song that Moses and the children of Israel sang when they crossed over the Dead Sea, looked back and saw all the Egyptians floating in the sea. And I will sing unto the Lord. It's what they sang. Verse 1, for he hath triumphed gloriously, and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. May God add his blessing. You may be seated. Sister Amber, it's great to have you out of boot camp. This is the last service for now for Jordan and Martha, and we are certainly honored to have had you with us. We love you and appreciate you, and great to have you here over the last little bit. And may God bless you and give you a safe trip back home. And for each and every one, Sister Simona, good to have you back again. And God bless you, each and every one. Ethan, right? Yeah, God bless you. Good to have Ethan back on deck, and each and every one. All right. Now, this is a little bit of a strange title, and we'll get there. We'll get there as to why I chose that title. I had so many different things, and I think it was one of the Peterson kids said to me on Sunday, I've never been in a service where a pastor touched on so many topics in one service. And I'm going to do that. Probably going to wind up doing the same thing again tonight. So take your Bible and let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, the first chapter. And let's take a look there tonight. Now, 2 Peter, the first chapter. And we're going to look at a couple of places here in 2 Peter just for a moment here. Now, I don't know that I have ever actually answered this question, so I thought tonight I'd just take a couple of minutes here to deal with this, because this is something that is important for all of us, 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, 2 Peter is about, the theme in the entire book is about the end time. It's like a prophetic book, the whole thing. And it deals with things that are going to come to pass in the end time. And one of the first things that Peter talks about or describes here is this principle of making your calling and election sure. I don't know if I've ever told you how to do that. And I wanted to just share that with you tonight, just in a little way of introduction, because I think this is important for us to do it. Because in the scripture, it's right in this book which pertains to the end time. And so just want to deal with this. Now, in the first part of the chapter in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The fact that God gives these promises is really important. It's really important for us to realize that God has said certain things about certain people or about certain times. There are certain things that are supposed to happen, and those are promises that God has made. And so therefore, if we drop down into verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, that the things he's talking about are these virtues here that are found in the previous verses here. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, you remember when I talk about raising kids and we're supposed to diligently raise them, diligence refers to sharpening. And we sharpen gradually, we sharpen continually, we sharpen over time, and we sharpen because by virtue of use, there's a bluntness that takes place in whatever you sharpen. So whatever tools you have, no matter how good they are, when you use them, they become blunt. So we resharpen them again. And this is the idea that Peter is conveying to us, that we give diligence to make our calling and election sure, because we do not want to fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this idea of keeping your making your calling and election sure is something that is really, really an important thing. And Peter is encouraging us in using that word to employ all of the things that are written, particularly in this chapter here, to make that happen. Now, he encourages people to actively pursue this because the calling and election part are not something that you've done. This is the part that God has done. Your calling, your election, God did that even before you got here. That's not something you can start. It's not something that you can create. You can't decide to put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, right? We know that. But the idea here is that rather than to try to achieve salvation, we're rather confirming and strengthening your assurance of it. We want to be assured of it. And there are a lot of people, very often new converts, go through this. How do I know I'm saved? How do I know I'm there? And in essence, you're making your calling and election sure involves living out your faith and growing virtue and demonstrating your love for God and for others. And this diligent pursuit of that is your reflection that Christ is in you. All of a sudden, we're doing something different. So the first thing that Peter tells us to do is we go back here knowing that in verse 3, and let me tell you before we read that, there's a caution for the convert that everyone who is now baptized, surrendered their life into Christ, and whatever reason you went ahead with that decision, you went ahead with the act of baptism, it's now not just sitting down and absorbing whatever God pours out. But God now puts us into service, doesn't he? He puts us into action, and now we're able to do things for him, we're able to do things for others, not to achieve salvation, but to prove you are saved, right? So when we apply the token, we're proving we're saved. When we do good deeds for another person, when we give, when we extend ourselves, when we work on behalf of someone else, then we are proving we've got something in here that thinks more about others than ourselves. So, in other words, the beginning of the character of Christ goes on display. We're not doing any of that to be saved or to be more saved. We're doing it because we are. And so therefore, there are certain things that we can do to put ourselves in action in order to make that happen. So one of the things is to be diligent, as Peter says, and we'll find it back up here in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Besides this, giving all diligence. Say that with me. All diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And the knowledge, temperance. And the temperance, patience. And the patience, godliness. And the godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a process that we go through. There's a growth that we go through. And these are the kinds of things that show up. Paul, Brother Branham says in The Greatest Battle Ever Fought, it's your mind that opens and closes the door and listens to your conscience and your memory, your affections. Those are things that we wrestle with mentally. But when your mind closes itself to those things and let the Spirit of His Word come in, it blows the rest of the stuff out. Every doubt, every fear, every sensation, every doubt is gone. And that's the kind of place that we need to be, because the enemy will fight against us, right? And he'll fight against us in our thinking. And Brother Branham's simply saying, you want to close the door to certain things and just open the door, let the Spirit of His Word come in and blow those flues free and unclog everything, and let the Holy Spirit flow through there so He can confirm things. When you're in a time of doubt, when you're in a time of fear, when you're in a time of indecision, or when you're in a time of great struggle, go back to the things you know are true. Go back to the anchors. Go back to the fact that Acts 2:38 is right. I can't be condemned for being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way anyone in the Bible was ever baptized. And that's the only way that is correct according to the Scripture. There is no other way for us to be baptized. That's what I know is true. We also know that we're living in the end time, right? You believe that? Why do we know we're living in the end time? Well, number one, because Israel is back in her homeland. And the things that Jesus said about Israel are coming to pass. We also know, that was number one. Number two, we also know because as it was in the days of Noah, and number three, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't need to argue about that, right? You don't need to even be a believer to understand that. That's the way things are, right? And because we know those things are true, if we can identify on a timeline where we are, there are certain promises that are made about the end time, right? That God said He would send a prophet, according to Malachi 4. And that prophet of Malachi 4 would also be the angel of Revelation chapter 3, the angel to the last age. That one would also be the angel of Revelation chapter 10. Isn't that right? And so there's a connection there. And we know those things are true. We hold on to those things as steadfast, and we use them as foundations or anchors. And so it would be wise for you to, if you struggle this way, it would be good for you, especially some of you new converts, to make a listing of what you know is true and right, absolutely true and right. This is my anchor list. These are the things that are absolutely right and true. And I'm going to hold on to these. I may need to go back and refer to them when Satan tries to shake my faith. And he will. He will try to shake your faith. He will try to shake your tree. But what Peter is saying, telling us right here, is that we want to add moral excellence. We want to add virtue. Here, we want to add knowledge. Knowledge comes from understanding God's words and God's ways. There's a huge difference between just looking at a verse to know what it says versus to know what he's trying to tell us. There's a difference between just knowing what it says or knowing what it means and also versus knowing what God's trying to tell me through it. It's good for you to know what it means. It's good for you to know the background of it. You know, sometimes like I do, I'll take the Hebrew or the Greek and we get back in the back part of it to find out what the real original expression was. What was the intent of God in saying that? But next step, you want to also spend time figuring out what is God telling me through this? What is he actually saying to me? What should I be taking away from this particular passage of Scripture? And Brother Branham said, all of that happens up here in your mind. Thirdly, we want to exercise self-control. Self-control, mastering your desires and your actions, right? No one is going to do that for you. Young men, nobody is going to do that for you. You cannot fertilize the thing you're trying to weed out of your garden and expect success. If you're trying to get something out of your garden, you're trying to get pornography out of your life, you can't go back to the internet and be looking at more of it. You can't do that. You can't fertilize the thing you're trying to get rid of, right? If you want to stop growing it, you got to put a distance between yourself and that, and you got to stop fertilizing it. When Potiphar's wife went after Joseph, Joseph used his feet for discernment and got out of there. He didn't hang around with her and try to debate with her. He used his feet for discernment and he was gone. There's a name for people who hang around and try to reason with lust. They're called victims. And you don't want to be named that. So you want to exercise some self-control and master your desires and actions. You want to put a lid on it. Fourthly, you want to have perseverance, which remains steadfast in faith despite the trials that come your way. All of us are tested. All of us are tried. Isn't that right? You remember, I was saying this evening here to somebody else, I remember when Brother Tim Ashong was here, and he was talking about how God deals with us. And he said the only time a teacher, who the Holy Spirit is our teacher, he's our schoolmaster, right? He guides us into all truth. The only time you don't hear from him is when you're going through a test. When you're going through a test, he hands the test to you, and he goes and sits at his desk. He doesn't say anything. Right? And he's wanting to know what you know. He's not teaching anything. He's wanting to know what you know. So he's silent during that time. The rest of the time, he's either correcting or instructing one or the other. But during a test, very often the teacher is silent. And there are times when we go through tests and we may not hear very much from God. That doesn't mean that God's not there. It just means in the process of testing, the teacher is not coaching you through the test. He's allowing something to happen to prove in your life that you have what you need to have in order to overcome this battle. And God does not send us into battles unless he knows we have what we need to overcome. Right? God does not send us into battle until he knows that we have what we need to overcome. But he wants you to exercise faith in him, faith in his word, take the sword of the word, and fight against your enemy. The fifth thing is godliness, which is living a life that reflects God's character. Number six is brotherly kindness, which is showing love to fellow believers. Hey, listen, again, nobody's going to do this for you, right? Nobody. These are not things that, the pastor is going to do in front of everybody, so it applies to everybody. No, these are things that you're going to do. When there's a need and when there's something that arises in the church like we've been talking about, it's good for you to jump on the bandwagon and get involved in that. And the last principle is love, which is extending love to all people, even the people that don't always treat you so well. Good works are an evidence that something has changed in your life. Because what you want to avoid is spiritual stagnation. You want to avoid spiritual stagnation. And you can become stagnant by just coming to church, go home. God, just coming to church, go home. Just coming to church, go home. And you leave all the church stuff, all the believing stuff, to just what happens at church. Let me tell you, all I do is encourage you to go home and live a life that is anything but stagnant. But to go home and apply the word in your battles, in your household, in your marriage, in your relationships with kids, in your relationships with brothers and sisters. That's exactly what God wants you to do, because people who are stagnant, they begin to drift and they begin to wander and they begin to look at other things, and they're open to all kinds of things that are not healthy and that are not edifying. And you should never say, well, I'll never be affected by that. You should say, I'll never be affected by that by the grace of God. With God's help, he'll keep me and preserve me, because this is what he promised us here. These are the kinds of things that he assured us of. Let's go to 1 Peter. Sorry, 1 Peter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. Who has done this? But Christ has done this. According to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us to this, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he's alive from the dead, and his spirit came back, and came back upon the church, now we have the promise of eternal life. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for, say me. Me, who are kept by the power of God. Who are we kept by? Not your pastor. You're not kept by your own power. You're kept by the power of God. He's got the keeping power. And he's the one who fills you with that. He's the one that empowers you with that. He's the one that gives you the anchor. He's the one that gives you the ability to stand and to linger and to hold on, hold fast all the way through the trials you're going through. who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed when? In the last day. It'll all come plain in the last day. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much